Hi, I'm Pete Price, and welcome to part two with Jamie Webster, a working class hero, a man who's going to fill Sefton Park with 40,000 people at his concert. Join me, part two, the very best of Pete Price, Jamie Webster.
You are now becoming a star, whether you like the name or not, you are becoming a star, which then will curb some of the things you've got to do. It can't be easy to walk into Liverpool and just enjoy a night out.
No, I mean, you know, I think it's fine when people are being nice. You know,
yeah,
people
absolutely.
People come over and even if you've had a bad day, and we all have bad days, we're all allowed to have bad days, no matter who we are or what we do. Even if I've had a bad day, something's happened at home, something's happened in work, and I'm feeling really low, because especially in this industry, the highs and lows are dramatic.
Unreal.
You know, dramatic. So if I'm feeling really low and I walk into a Tesco, and someone, ah, oh, Jamie, you know, I might not feel like putting my smile on and going, hello, how are you? Yeah, fuck the Tories, yeah, let's get a photo. But I know if that person's being nice, I've got to, you know, because that is
part of the job.
Part of the job, and they're being nice, let's not forget. Mm. You know what I mean? So how do you react to someone's kindness? You react to it with kindness. Now, however, I have had experiences, and I still have it now. I walked into a cafe yesterday, and the girls in Vaughan's on Latimer Street. I go in there every day, lovely women, best cafe in the city, family ran. It's around the corner from my recording studio, which I work out of, like an office. Went in there yesterday, and I have a laugh with all the girls behind the counter, lovely women. And one of them had been saying that I'd said something about the Scouse, and I'd actually paid the Scouse a compliment. So I went in messing around with them. I'm like, hey, you, what are you saying about me? Blah, 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 blah. They're all laughing, joking. I give a CD for one of the kids, one of the girls' kids, and I turn round. And a fella goes, unzips his jacket, opens it. He's got an Everton crest on, and he's just snarling at me. And he's, this is yesterday. He's staring at me. And I actually let on. I turned around and went, you're all right, mate? And he just looked at me. And, like, I'm not being funny. All right, you don't have to like me. But how do you think that makes me feel? I'm stood in a cafe full of people.
You've had fun, you've been...
Do you have yeah, I'm being, like, all of a
just
sudden,
brought you
bang.
Right down.
And it's like, well, yeah. What's going to happen here now? Are you going to hit me? Am I going to have to, you know, what... Another time when it happened, I was... coming out of a game, no, it was a derby match, and Anfield, I have to do this now. So sometimes when I'm at Anfield, I think it was Man United, Man City, Everton, I think I need to leave the ground before the final whistle, because, and especially at this point, because Liverpool were winning 1-0, I think Everton had a few harsh decisions, even as a Liverpool fan, I'll say, in the game, so the fans were really annoyed, rightly so, and then a Liverpool player scored in like the 84th minute, something like that, to make it 2-0. I thought, right, I'm off. I've got to go now because they're going to leave soon. So I walked down Anfield Road, and a Hotel Tier Taggies is on the corner. That's where my car was parked because I performed in there before the game. So I'm walking down, and just by chance, my car broke down, and I was in a Liverpool red Kia Sportage courtesy car, just by chance, do you know what I mean? And it was on Derby Day, and like, so... I'm walking down Anfield Road. Liverpool fan comes running over. Jamie. I'm like, mate, just keep your voice down. Gets a quick selfie with him. An Everton fan looks at me and he laughs and he says, don't worry, lad, I won't say no. And he's walking down the road and we're having a nice chat and he's saying he actually likes my music and I'm feeling really good. And I'm like, oh, mate, thank you for, like, looking past all this bullshit to listen to the music. You don't know how much that means to me. And he's like, no, lad, you're doing the city proud, blah, blah, blah. And I was really, really feeling good. So then I get into my car. I'm reversing out of the onto Anfield Road, and these three women, and there's a brand new born baby, come running out, and they go, Jamie. So I'm like, hi, girls, yeah, look, I've really got to go, but I'll get a foot. Just do me a favour, keep your voices down, because there's about 1,000 Evertonians coming up the road. And, you know, but by the way, some of my very best mates go everywhere with Everton home and away. You know, I don't just, like, we have a laugh.
No, it's the situation you're talking about.
Yeah.
Because of the
yeah.
game,
yeah.
and you're going to be a target, you're in the middle of there, you've got to protect yourself because you don't know who's going to throw a punch.
Well, what happens next is I say to the girls, can you keep it down? They put the baby into the car. I get a photo with the baby at the sides of the car. Gives them this child back. This child screaming, bawling. She's about 4 months old, you know. And next thing, the grandmother or something, who's that you've just given the baby to? And one of them, it's Jamie Webster, as I'm reversing out. So as she says that, I reverse onto the road. Five lads look and see me. And they just walk into the middle of the road. So I'm trying to drive down the road and they're just linking arms and they just stood in front of my car. And I'm going, come on, lads, I'm just trying to get home. And they're going, you're not going anywhere, you fucking cop, I bastard, this, that, the other, you're not going anywhere, you'll go when we say you're going, all that. And I'm like, lads, I've literally got in my car this early to avoid this. I was like, I'm going home to me missus, I'm going home for me tea, I'm not into any of this, you know, it's a game of footy, lads, do you know what I mean? They're fucking spitting on them, like, the car's not even mine, lads, do you know what I mean? One of them goes, oh, isn't it, lads, about this, then bump, volleys the front of the car. So I'm thinking to myself now, like, what do I do here? Like, you know, can I get out the car? I'm feeling a little bit scared. I'm feeling a little bit angry at the same time because I am, you know, I am a Scouse lad at the end of the day. I, as much as it was a scary indicator, you know, every fibre in me wanted to jump out and lamp this lad. But I'm thinking, no, you can't do that because everyone will know it's you. So I'm sort of shaking in my car and I thought I'd try and turn it into a joke. You know, I'd try and have a laugh at them. So as they're keeping, I'm reversing back. And, like, going forward, winding them up, going, oh, you know, come on, lads, get out the way. And a few of them see the funny side of it. And he went to the, yeah, lad, let's just let him go. And three of them jump onto the side. And this one lad is going, say, what are you doing? Screaming. He's screaming at me, spitting on me windows. He's calling me this, that, yeah, fucking. And so I'm, like, edging towards him, trying to get him to move. And he puts his foot on me car. And he goes, watch if you hit me with your car. Watch what I'm going to do. And I said, mate, you stood in front of the fucking road. What do you mean? What options have I got here, mate? Do you know what I mean? And thankfully, one of his mates pulled him out of the road. You know what I mean? And I think he must have realised at the start, oh, it's a bit of a laugh. And then I think once he realised the situation was escalating, thankfully, a couple of the lads who were there must have
thought, and you got off.
This is stupid, this. What's this all for? I literally, I didn't say a word. I didn't snigger. I didn't smile. I didn't laugh. I didn't make a comment. I literally said from the minute that he blocked me car, I said, come on, lads, I'm not here for this. I'm trying to get home. And you know, because of situations like that, I'm socially anxious now. I really am. So, like, people, like, even when I go to footy match, because, like, I get comments from Liverpool for who does he think he is nowadays?
Oh, yeah, but that happens anyway.
Of course.
And I'll give you an example of that. I remember years ago, Terry Sylvester, who was in the Escorts, and he was fabulous, fabulous band, great mate of mine, he lives in Canada now. We were out for dinner. The next day, he became a member of the Hollies.
Oh,
yes. Huge.
Of course.
All of a sudden, who do you think you are?
Yeah.
One day, so I know exactly. One thing in this country that's the worst thing in this country, in America, they applaud success. In this country, they get jealous. They love you until they think, but we can go down that road. But let's stay with you over this. Now, I'm talking to Jamie Webster. Right, you've talked about that in the car. Now, people can still get to you, but through social media. That must be a problem for you.
Yeah, I mean, thankfully, like, at the moment, it's quiet. I mean, I don't have Twitter on my phone anymore because of, I was, funny enough, in Texas playing a festival out there, and that was, like, a bucket list moment for me. Texas, you know, you think movies, don't you? You think the Wild West, you think, fuck, I was so excited to go out there. And I goes out there, and it was a great week. Some of the gigs that we'd done, I don't think, you know, like, you know, to be able to play to 1,000 people in Texas was a surreal moment, you know what I mean? Probably something I'll never be able to do again. And, you know, obviously I'm great mates with Paddy the Baddy and Molly McCann, who are also shining stars in the city. Really good friends of mine. We have been even before our success, do you know what I mean? My mate, my girlfriend, you know, Molly's obviously a lesbian, and my girlfriend, a lot of her friends are from that way. So when they were 17, 18, they used to knock around in Superstar Boudoir together, my girlfriend and a mate. So she's
nice club.
Yeah, she's known Molly for a long time through that scene. And I've known Paddy through being a lad around the same age, around the same area. So they're fighting in the UFC. And I'm obviously, part of my life now is, you know, whether I like it or not, if I go to an event, people have cameras on you, and, you know,
all the time.
Yeah, and, like, part of my, even my budget for my tours is to have a videographer with you, because in order to succeed these days, you do need social media, and you need that footage, and you need that content. So I've got a camera crew, and it was a documentary that was getting worked on, and believe it or not, the documentary was not my, never my idea. I said I thought it was premature, but if whoever wanted to do this documentary felt so confident that it was going to be a success, who am I to discourage that? But I felt it was premature. But as long as it wasn't too intrusive, I was happy for people to be there and film me doing my stuff. So I'm watching Paddy fight in Texas. He's in New York, I think, or wherever he is. And we're watching it on the telly in like a sports bar. And I'm obviously, he's a mate of mine and he's brawling with someone. So obviously, you know, if you've got any sort of love for your mate, you want him to, you know, I'm screaming, go on, Paddy, get him, get him, get him. And like, all right, I'm getting carried away. My emotions are running high. But like, I'm literally supporting my friend. I'd had the week of my life in Texas. I was having a great time. And this video then circulates and, oh my, I just couldn't believe it. I was just about to board the flight home and I goes on to Twitter and like, it's thousands of people calling me Gollum, calling me this, calling me that, saying I'm a scruff, commenting on my teeth, pulling up pictures of my family from previous Twitters, you know, years ago, and like, look at pulling up pictures of me when I'm about 15, look at the state of them, blah, 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 this, that, and like, real, and then like, but not only was what people were saying, you're getting thousands of people liking it and quoting it and resharing it, and during that flight, that transatlantic flight, I slipped into the biggest state of depression I've ever been in my life, because it wasn't that people were saying it was the fact that it was carrying and it was having weight and people were agreeing with it. You know, there was more people jumping on it than there was saying, kind of lad, just support his mate, he's just having a good time. And I'd just had the time of my life, and like,
it was taken away from you,
it was literally pulled from under my feet. And for that next 3-4 weeks I couldn't get out of bed. I could not get out of bed. Every time I'd turn on my phone, there'd be something. It went on for about 3 weeks, this. It wasn't just an overnight thing. Sometimes with social media, it's like a 24-hour thing and it goes. And I know I don't need to talk to you about it, Pete, you know what I mean? Because I know you've suffered more of your fair share of it yourself. And it's only, I think, when it happens to you,
yeah,
you realise like how fucking horrible it is and how horrible some people can be. And like, the thing that was annoying me as well was I was going on the profiles of these people and I was looking at these weenie little bastards and I was thinking, I would tear you in half, you know, if you were to say that to me face, you wouldn't have half a chance. I'm from the north end of Liverpool, mate, I'll fucking show you, you know what I mean? But you can't do that and you're powerless, and that's what makes you feel bad, because you're powerless. And even when I was trying to like argue back with people or defend myself, even my own fans are saying, Jamie, this doesn't look good. You look, and I'm like, for fuck's sake, I can't win here. You know what
you
I mean?
You can't win on social media, though. You really can't.
You can't.
Because they're there just going, da-da-dum, send.
Done.
Da-da-dum, send.
Yeah.
But when you say about that, I always give an example, and you're in the same industry as me, and I've been doing it for 50 years. I love it when you're on stage, and there's 1,000 people who love you, but there's just one in the front, and you go, you forgot the 1,000. You look at him going, what's wrong with him?
Yeah, all gig done.
It's the most ridiculous thing, isn't it?
I only done it the other week. I was playing a pub tour, and it was like, because we'd come back to our roots, and it was like, obviously I'm doing massive venues now. So I thought, oh, what a good way to like promote the album, be to like giving some money to some proper pubs, you know, where I made my name as a pub singer all around the country. Let's do it. It'll be great. Okay, now, the halfway house in Walton Road, right? You know, I reckon I must have put 50 to 100 grand in the till of that bar just from playing there. Not myself, but like from people coming in, right? There used to be queues right in the corner for people to come in and see me. That pub's had 5 makeovers, it's had new tellies, it's had new everything because of my business, right? We announced this pub tour, everyone's buzzing. Oh, he's back, he's coming back to the app. There's a few idiots, oh, because it's their local. Ah, oh, fucking hell, who do you think you are? Making the local close because of, to do this video. And I was like, the regulars all went into the other side of the pub, and by the way, I bought them all a pint and put 50 quid behind the bar. You know what I mean? And you're saying I'm pilgrimaging, pilgrim, whatever it is, off this pub, and I'm fucking helping it. You know what I mean? And then in one of the gigs there is, I forgot which gig it was, it might have been Newcastle, it might have been Middlesbrough, and there was one lad who stood there for the whole gig, and he must have been one of his mates had bought him a ticket to try and change his mind about me, and he stood with his arms folded the whole gig, and he did not crack a smile or a smirk the whole gig, and I just sang at him the whole gig. I just looked at him the whole gig, and then right at the end of the gig, he was still, didn't clap, he didn't applaud, he stood there like that, clapped everyone, just looked right at him and went, fuck off, and just walked off the stage in the end, because I thought, fuck yeah.
Well, just so you know, it's like it was years ago. I was one of the people outside the Cavern marching to tell everyone not to buy the Beatles' first song, Love Me Do. We didn't want them to become famous because we didn't want to lose them.
Yeah, you didn't want
to lose them. Nothing changed.
Yeah,
nothing's changed.
No, it is. It's like that, and I think, I know, I mean, I suppose it's hard as well because this city, there's so many people. Like, I have messages, like, off fans, and I do talk to them. I had a message off a guy, and he's like, Jamie, like, your concert ticket for Sefton Park is too dear. I've got four kids. And I'm like, mate, I'm sorry you feel that way. But, like, in order to do...
It costs a lot of money to put on.
I know, well, that's it, man. And
fences.
That's what I said to him. Every bit of fencing, every bit of food, every bit of, you know, sanitation, toilet, security.
Unreal.
Yeah, you know, all of that. I was like, that comes out of the gig fee. People don't just say, yeah, we're going to set this up for you, and then we're going to pay you a load of money to pay. And you're like, I have to sell tickets to do this, I said. And he's, you know, he's replying saying, yeah, you know, I'm struggling. I've got a few kids. And I, you know, I do get it. You know what I mean? And I do know that sometimes that's where the jealousy comes from, because, you know, people see me doing that, and they must think, oh, he's doing all right. And then they turn around and go, well, you know, I'm struggling. But I've been there. I've done that struggle. You know, I've worked out of it. And who's to say that my career is going to last that long, that I won't be struggling again? You never know what's
wrong. No different than footballers.
What?
No different than footballers.
Exactly.
Got to get the money while you can.
Exactly. Like, I think...
And you're going to get married one day and have kids.
I'm getting married in May, actually.
Oh, sorry. Getting married in May.
Yeah, so, you know, I think, for me, like... I'm dead lucky, especially for the amount of people who do champion me the way they do. I think the best way to do it, I did have therapy. I did go into therapy shortly after Texas because I really, really couldn't. Like, it was some of the thoughts that were crossing my mind. It was never as bad as the worst, you know, outcome of that. It was never as bad as that, but some of the thoughts that were crossing my mind were quite worrying and quite dangerous. And because I travel a lot to do gigs, I do a lot of travelling on my own as well. And I remember being sat in a hotel, in an apartment on my own in Reykjavik, in Iceland, and it was really, really dark. The weather, everything, it was really gloomy. And I'd been given a number for a therapist who dealt with people in my industry and who dealt with people of a certain profile and stuff like that, who understood what I was going through. And I was so reluctant to call her because I felt like I had imposter syndrome, thinking, well, what's so wrong with me? What have I got to moan about? I'm doing all these great things. And that was adding to it. You know what I mean? I almost felt like I didn't have the right to feel the way I was feeling. And I was sat in Reykjavik and I was on, like, it was a top floor apartment and I was looking out on the balcony and I was just in floods of tears. And while I still know that, like, at that point, I would never, ever have done anything stupid because... I think about...
Especially after losing your friend as well.
Yeah, well, I just think about my mum and my fiancée, and I think, you know, how shitty would that be for them? Not that it was crossing my mind, but I would never do that, especially, like, because of them, you know what I mean? Because like you say, my friend and a couple of people I've known have took their own lives, and what it leaves behind is devastating, and I've always seen the effect of what it leaves behind. So... it would never be me. As far as I'm aware, I don't think I'd have the capability to do that. But having said that, I was really dark and I didn't know who I was. I really felt like I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what I was going to do. And as soon as I made that phone call and she justified my feelings and she just said to me, like, you are not going crazy for feeling like this. I told her some of the things that had happened to me and why I was feeling like this. And she said, that is so justifiable to feel like that after going through that. And just as soon as someone told me from the outside, me I wasn't going fucking crazy, it was like the weight had been lifted. And then, like, after doing a good bit of work with her over a few weeks, I realised that, you know, with the way, to sum up, like, you know, not everyone's going to like you know what I mean? And you're best
That's
off...
That's the world we live in.
And you're best off not... I felt like... You're best off not, and Alfie, who's here, and Dave also, they were great with this. You're best off not trying to get people who hate you to like you, because...
They never will.
No,
they never will.
But if you can get the people to like you, who like you, to love you,
yeah,
then, you know, you're going to go a lot further. You know what I mean? You're going to have a lot more longevity to your career. And I thought, well, yeah, you know, let's just focus on my message. Let's not try and... bend to the ones who I'm not appealing to at the minute, because I am who I am, and if they don't like that, they're never going to like it. And you know what? Sod them now. You know what I mean?
No,
sod them.
I understand what you mean.
You know, I've got great people around me. Like, I've got an amazing family. I've got an unbelievable fiance, a great team of people at the record label and management who believe in everything that I do. You know, a great band, great, like, people around me, unbelievable group of friends. And I think, well, even with that, even without living my dream job, I'm fucking luckier than most to have that. Because there's a lot of people in the world, including people who I know, who don't. You know what I mean? And I think realising how lucky I actually am helps me, you know, go through it. Not, that doesn't mean to say that you can't have the days where you feel bad and where you'd have your wobbles and it does get on top of you.
But that's the industry. The highs are high and the lows are low.
And that's life as well.
It's the biggest drug in the world. That's why stars come out of retirement, because they miss that drug.
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
nothing like applause.
There isn't.
Nobody can understand. I want to come and see you in Sefton Park, which is on the 12th of July, which I'm really excited about, because I've never seen you live. The reason I've never seen you live is I've been too scared to come
yeah.
with the audience because of who I am.
Yeah,
and I'm nobody, but
no,
it
are,
scares the living daylights out of me.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll it's going to be a different feel in Sefton Park.
Well, regardless...
Do you know what I mean by saying that?
I know what you mean by saying that, yeah, definitely. I think it should do because, well, it's a lovely area and stuff like that, you know, and I feel like the message in the third album, in particular... is less of an aggressive one and more of a, you know, let's all look after each other one. But, you know, personally, I mean, I'd say to see it off the interview as well. If you did ever feel like that, Pete, you've only got to get in touch with the channels now and we can look after you. And it'd be a pleasure to have you somewhere. I'd definitely want you there that day. You'd be on my personal guest list anyway. And, you know, if anyone is listening to this, if anyone does come to my shows and acts with any sort of animosity or disrespect towards another member of the public who's there, what gives you the right? You know, what makes you think you've got the right? Everybody in that, in any gig, in any event, has got just as much a right to be there and enjoy themselves as you have. You know what I mean? Because you've all paid the same amount of money coming through the gates. And let's get one thing straight. Nobody's more important than anyone else in this world. We're all fucking human beings. Just because I'm on stage that day, that means I'm on stage that day. That doesn't mean I'm any important than anyone in the crowd. And as far as I can, as what I always say, I wouldn't be who I am without everyone in that crowd. You know, every single person who supported me from the ground up. If I'm singing to nobody, nobody's connecting with it. If people and fans are coming down and taking a chance on a message that's positive, they're the ones who are actually making it become the message, because they're the ones to take it. You know what I'm saying? If I'm just sat in a room full of five people, there might be five people hearing the songs, but the fact that so many people are getting behind it, their role in this is just as important as mine. And that, you're no different to that piece. And I think every human being should be on a level playing field. And like, if I did ever find that people were treated with disrespect, animosity, any sort of xenophobia in any way, shape or kind at my gigs, because, you know, as scouts, we've experienced xenophobia from the rest of the country systematically for years. So how stupid have you got to be to inflict that on somebody else? Do you know what I mean? And as far as I'm concerned, like I said, we're all equal and we're all on an equal playing field. So if anyone does see Pete or anybody else who they notice and they feel like giving them a bit of shit, just don't do it. Because you know what? It's not adding anything to your day, and it's certainly not adding anything to anyone else's day. And, you know, it's time to grow the fuck up as far as I'm concerned. You know what I mean?
Jamie Webster, you're an amazing human being. Thank you for talking to me.
Been a pleasure, Pete, and I'll definitely see you at Sefton Park.
Thank you so much for joining us on our podcast. Why not subscribe? You know it's free. So join us and tell your friends. It's great going on walks and doing whatever you want to do and then putting Pete Price on. We've got a back catalogue of over 100 interviews. Join us. Subscribe. It's free.